This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be in the house of God together, and it is my privilege to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church, especially if this is your first time worshiping here. We hope that you feel welcomed and feel the love and spirit of Christ moving in this place. If you are visiting with us and are perhaps looking for a church home, I would invite you to, after the service, come out this doorway, and there will be a welcome center there waiting for you and friends in Reed Hall there to answer any questions about the ministries and the way that we are trying to live out God's love in our community. I would ask everyone who's here to register your attendance. We have registration pads at the end of each row, and if they haven't begun making their way down, if you begin that process, and just notice the names of the friends sitting on the row with you, and maybe there's an opportunity to meet someone new today. If you are a college student, we invite you to join other college students for lunch. You'll be gathering in Reed Hall right after this service and find a place to go to lunch together. While you're in Reed Hall this morning, there's an opportunity to buy tickets for our pancake supper. The Shrove Tuesday, which is the night before Ash Wednesday, before the season of Lent begins, there's a great tradition in this congregation of jazz mass preceded by a pancake supper. And if you'd like to attend that, there are tickets available in Reed Hall, or you can also get those online. And I can't wait to experience it myself for the first time. Just a word about our worship this morning. We had the combined children's choirs from West End and Belmont United Methodist Churches singing at the 8:45 service. So if you're looking around thinking, where are all the children? Well, they've gone over to Belmont United Methodist to sing over there this morning. So our prayers are with them as they help lead in worship in that worship service. Other announcements are printed in the insert this morning. I invite you to take a look at those. And now it is time for us to turn our hearts and minds to this hour of worship as we encounter Jesus in the synagogue and are confronted by his healing love and power. Let us worship together.
Jesus Christ, be present now.
Thank you. As we come to worship this day, let us bring all of our joys and sorrows.
Jesus, sorrow.
As we come to worship this day, we believe in God's power through Jesus Christ. As we come to worship this day, we feel the presence of God.
You
may be seated. Let us now confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Let us pray. We know who you are, O Christ. You are the one who silences demons and casts out evil spirits. You are the one who creates new life out of utter chaos. We know who you are, O Christ. Forgive us, we pray, when we act otherwise. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God offers redemption to all people, making new life possible for everyone. Believe in the gospel this day and be healed. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Benjamin and Jennifer Morse bring their daughter, Eleanor Yoshiko Morse, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered without price. Jen and Ben, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My brothers and sisters, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, will you say, we do?
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given to this beautiful child? Eleanor Yoshiko. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now invite all of us to place a hand on Eleanor Yoshiko, and we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in her life. Eleanor Yoshiko, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now Eleanor and I are going to go for a little walk so we can get just a little bit closer to your church family. Now, these are the friends who are going to teach you how much God loves you. They're going to teach you about Jesus and teach you the songs of the faith. Maybe one of them will be your confirmation friend in faith. Some of them will teach you Sunday school and show you the ways of the faith. And we're going to gather together now and make that promise to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Eleanor? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Eleanor Yoshiko to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Eleanor Yoshiko, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, come to me, to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Good to see you all this morning. We just sang a song about how Jesus is a healer. Jesus went around from town to town, and he taught, and he did things, and one of the main things he did when he went to see people was to heal people who were sick. Have you ever worn one of these? Yes, I have too. I've skinned my knees, my elbows, bonked my head. I've even broken a bone. Maybe some of you have had a broken arm or something and had to wear a cast. Or maybe you've been sick with a cold and sneezing and coughing. Well, sometimes when I'm feeling sick or when something hurts, it helps me to remember that Jesus was a healer and he cares about our bodies and wants us all to be well. And I think about all the people in our lives who help with healing, like doctors and nurses and the nurses at your school maybe, or next time you go to the doctor and you see the doctor and you see the nurse, think about how they are helping by doing the work of God and helping people to heal and say thank you to them. Let's pray. Gracious God, sometimes we get boo-boos, we hurt, we get sick, but the Bible reminds us that you care about our healing. And we thank you for that. We pray for all those who are sick. And we thank you for doctors and nurses and all those people who are doing your work to help us be well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for listening. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or the friends you came with. We had a little mistake in our reading, our script up there. We had the wrong reading prepared for David, so my apologies to David who read the right scripture that was up there, but it was actually not the one that's in your bulletin or the one that I prepared for. So I don't think I wanted to preach a spontaneous sermon. I don't think you want that either. So let me go ahead and read our text from the first chapter of Mark. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed and kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I must say it was a little tempting to switch over to the story of Jesus walking on water, especially when it comes to thinking of a message to share with the children. Because this story is a little strange and even a little bit scary. It is the story of a man who is possessed by an unclean spirit. Now, we see these kinds of stories sprinkled throughout the Gospels. In just the next set of verses in Mark's Gospel, it says that Jesus went around casting out demons and healing the sick. Now, we know that those who wrote the Gospels down, that all of those who were in the synagogue that day, and perhaps Jesus himself, all understood these kinds of events as people being possessed by demons, by evil spirits. And it was an important part of Jesus' ministry to cast out those spirits and heal people and make them whole again. But for us, in the 21st century, as we look back on these stories, we have a different understanding, perhaps, of what was going on here. We have a better understanding of science and psychology and neuroscience and all the things that might explain away what's happening in this story. And so we might be tempted to read this account from Mark's gospel and ask ourselves, what does this story have to do with us? And we might be tempted to say, I just don't want to deal with that. Let's talk about Jesus walking on water. Or let's just move on to the next story in the gospel. Does this story have anything to do with us? Well, of course you know my answer to that, because I'm a preacher, right? This is the scriptures before us. This is our sacred text. And we believe that whenever we open the pages of scripture, there is something that God has to show us and to teach us. So yes, there is something in this story for us. And one of the things that helped this scripture open up for me this week, and for many of us who gathered in Bible study around the text this week, was the description of what was going on with this man. It says he had an unclean spirit. That's a very literal translation of the Greek. He was a man with an unclean spirit. And I began to ask myself, are there unclean spirits perhaps at work in my life, in our lives together? Perhaps an attitude or a way of thinking, a way of treating others, some spirit at work in our own spirits that is not holy, that is not of God, that gets in the way of our relationship with God. Perhaps it's a spirit of resentment, a spirit of fear, a spirit of unworthiness, an attitude of anger toward others, bitterness. We've been talking in our Wednesday night class, which I'm taking with Sally Honor, about grievance and that attitude of holding on to grievance. I'm just angry with that group of people or that person, and holding on to that. Could that perhaps be an unclean spirit? As I reflect on my own life, there are lots of those attitudes and thoughts and spirits at work in me that keep me from trusting in the love and grace of God. And as we look at this story even more closely, it suggests that perhaps it's not just individuals that have these unclean spirits, but perhaps these are spirits that can reside in a group, in a congregation. This man stands up in the synagogue and he says, I know who you are. But he also says, what have you to do with us? Could he be speaking on behalf of that whole synagogue full of people? Is it possible that there are spirits of divisiveness, criticism, fear, greed, anger, unworthiness that plague a congregation? I have a friend who went to serve a church in a small town in a rural area. You know the story. The economy had gone to pot. The factories that had made that town vital and vibrant decades ago had shut down. Unemployment was out the roof. Drug use was out the roof. The schools were declining. The hospital had closed. There was very little hope in this little town. And my friend was sent to serve a church in this dying part of the world. And when he got there, he felt in the congregation this spirit of bitterness and anger. They were suspicious of him. They assumed that the bishop had sent him to them to close the church, and that that was his job, was to shut down this little church. But after a few months of being with them, he began to realize that what was really going on, what the real spirit was that was plaguing this congregation of people, was a deep sense of unworthiness and forsakenness. They felt forsaken by the society, forsaken by the denomination, forsaken by God. They were grieving what they used to have, and they felt like nobody wanted them anymore. And so he began to pray for for this congregation that he'd been called to. And he began to gather those who were willing every week for a Bible study. And as they prayed and studied together, the word that kept emerging out of the scriptures for them was this sense of God's love for them. That God goes after the least and the lost and the forgotten. And they began to remember who they were and whose they were. And out of some of those conversations, they decided, let's get together once a week for a meal. And so on Tuesday nights, we're going to open up the church and all the church members bring a dish and we'll just invite anybody and everybody in the town. And slowly but surely, not just church members, but people from that community came. And some of them couldn't afford to bring a covered dish, but they came to eat and to share a meal. And over time, that gathering at the table grew and a sense of belonging and hope took root among those people. The power and love of Christ drove out the unclean spirit of unworthiness and forsakenness. It wasn't their fault that that spirit had taken over, but they were reminded that in Christ there is the power to drive out those spirits and give them purpose and meaning and belonging and love. That's what this story is really about. I think that's why Mark begins Jesus' public ministry, the account of Jesus' public ministry, with this moment in the synagogue, to announce that Jesus is the Son of God who has the power and the authority to drive out all of the unclean spirits that would plague us and plague us together. So maybe today, there is an unclean spirit that you are struggling with. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a deep, abiding sense of unworthiness. Maybe it's anger and resentment at hurt that has been brought upon you. Whatever it is, allow me to remind you that Jesus the Christ has the power to set you free, to set us free, and to make us whole. Thanks be to God. Amen. Every Sunday we have an opportunity to stand together and affirm our faith in a liberating and healing God who has power and authority to make us whole. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our affirmation of faith found on page 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up our joys and concerns of this congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, you may find one of the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you, and you can write your prayer request on those cards, and you may indicate whether you want those to be shared or whether they should remain confidential. And the cards may be placed in the offering plates in a few minutes as they make their ways down the aisles, down your pew rows in a few moments. Today we have several deaths to announce in our church, in our church family. First, we offer our sympathy to the family of Catherine Burris Castleman, who passed away on Saturday, January 20th. Services were held at West End on Thursday, January 25th. We grieve with the family of Ann Neff on the passing of her father, Doyle Thomas. Services were held in Bethany, Missouri on January 20th. And we offer our sympathy to West End member and choir member Fred Mund, whose brother Dave died this week in Wright City, Missouri. Services were held at Harvester Church of the Nazarene on Thursday, January 25th, and he was buried with full military honors. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of wisdom and authority, we come before you this morning in the humble awareness that we would rather live as if we rule the world. Grant us your grace that we might turn our hearts and minds back to you this day. Your teaching is astounding. Your power to change lives is unparalleled. We pray that your living presence would be among us this day. Hold us, shape us, and guide us that we would trust in your goodness and mercy. Our ways are so often not your ways. We live in a world that prizes power over the other, violence as a means of peace, hoarding resources as a means of security, and recklessly consuming in the name of fulfillment. We pray for this world that gets so much backwards, and we pray that your truth would be our guide. Our lives are often filled with many hurts and sorrows. We remember all those who are oppressed, forgotten, and abandoned by systems designed to keep them down. We remember those in our midst who are struggling with sickness in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for ourselves and our own struggles. Lord Jesus, we pray to you, the one who has the power to cast out unclean spirits. Cleanse us of our collective and personal sinfulness. Bring healing and wholeness where there is hurt. Redeem us all that we may experience your righteousness and goodness. Spirit of life, hear these prayers and our personal petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As a people gifted many things by God, let us give our gifts back to God.
like to invite those who are joining this morning to come forward. I'll start by introducing Bryn Henley. Bryn is an attorney with the state of Tennessee. She's married to Nathan, and they have two children, Henry, who is 2, and Sybil, who is 2 months. And Bryn is transferring from Altamont First United Methodist Church in Altamont, Illinois. Next, we have Kara Wilhite. Kara is an engineering project analyst with HCA. She's transferring from First United Methodist Church of Shreveport, Louisiana. Next is Emily Doherty. Emily is in healthcare operations with NaviHealth, which is a post-acute care company. She's transferring from Asbury United Methodist Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And then we have Emily and Joel Long. Joel is in relocation with Armstrong Relocation, and Emily is in advertising with Archer Malmo. Joel is transferring from St. John Orthodox Church in Memphis, and Emily is transferring from Second Presbyterian Church in Memphis. So Joel and Emily Long, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest member? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Emily, Bryn, Joel, Emily, and Kara are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
have been joined in heart during this hour of worship. May we go from this place to share God's heart with the world. And in that, may we know Christ's peace and power in our own lives. Amen.